When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
This is a very interactive show, and it works in conjunction with the column that I write at johncanzano.com. So this radio show, whether you're listening in Southern Washington or all across the state of Oregon on any of the affiliates, or you're streaming the show from Topeka, Kansas, or Tallahassee, Florida, or, you know, if you're in Lihue, if you're on Kauai, near Poipu Beach, and you're listening because this guy's about to come on, I welcome you into our family. Dylan Gabriel. I talked to him last one-on-one Big Ten Media Day on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. He sat down. He was dressed sharp. He had a handler with him. There were a lot of cameras around. But he sat down and gave us about a 15-minute interview that was fantastic. Very relaxing. Like, that's not often that the energy of a guest kind of helps me chill out, but Dylan Gabriel's got that impact. He joins us now, Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel with us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I tried to give a little bit of flavor of Hawaii there for you, Lihue and Kauai and Poipu Beach. Did I bring back any memories?
It made me smile. I could picture it just in my mind, so I appreciate that.
Anytime. You don't want to give away like the beach to the tourists, but is there a place in the islands where you go, this is my spot, that you can tell us about?
I do. I actually go up to the North Shore when I'm home. It's just an easier drive for me and my family, so it really is the closest. A nice 20-minute drive, and it's a beautiful drive from Mililani to the North Shore. But I will say this, I'm an advocate for all beaches. I think, you know, each coast kind of gives its own vibe, and I think the locals would say the same, whether it's the North Shore, East Shore, South, or the West Side. I think each of them kind of have their own flavor. So if I were to tell anyone, I'd say, you know, just dabble in a little bit of both or all.
I think we talked last time about maybe not surfing. You know, we agree with, we see the world the same way in this way. Like, I don't belong out there in their world. And I'm talking about like all that sea life that I can't see underneath the surface of the water. Like, there's just something about like when I realize how deep and how vast the ocean is, I go, I'm okay up here. I'm okay on the beach. Like, you know, have you always been that way yourself, or like, was there a time as a young kid you were in the water all the time?
As a young kid, I definitely have some stories that go back with a couple of my buddies that we've had some close calls. Thank goodness we're still here, but the water is treacherous, and I'm not home enough to go in like that. But you know, now I'm kind of the knee deep. You know, I'll try and jump in and you know, get the ocean vibe, but I'll usually target some calmer beaches as well. So if it is, you know, pumping and the waves are going, then I'm a sand crab at best.
Dylan Gabriel with us. I love that sand crab. You looked really comfortable. The last couple of games, you've just looked comfortable. And, you know, I don't know if it feels more comfortable, or maybe we're just seeing it that way, but help us understand what we're seeing, you know, maybe in the Ohio State game, late in that game where you're using your legs a little more, or maybe in the Purdue game where, aside from maybe one throw you'd want to have back, you looked really good.
Yeah, I think I don't think comfortable is the word for me, but more just, you know, trust in my preparation and the guys around me. I think that gives me some ease, you know, going into to when we play. But just proud of how the team has continued to get better, and we push each other, you know, in practice and in the film room, and, you know, just how mature everyone is and in looking at things that we can get better from. You know, never have I been around guys that wanted to, you know, see it as a time that, you know, it's the blame game or anything like that. I just see a bunch of guys that want to grow and get better. So that helps us all. You know, we all look at ourselves first and then come together and, you know, ultimately see how we can come and get better as a unit.
Everybody this week talking about your ranking, and, you know, meanwhile, your coach is closing practice and probably behind the scenes saying doesn't mean anything. And you guys are telling each other it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, what has that been like, you know, behind the doors? Is it quiet back there? Because the noise is starting to pick up on the outside.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. I truly mean that. It's like, it's so tough to even describe it, because we have such a, you know, clear vision of what our goal is, and we're far from it. So, you know, we're kind of in the thick of just continuing to get better and, you know, focus on week to week. But I think you can go back to, you know, our first week of football and how the media was then and how the media is now. I think that's just a clear, you know, picture of what it kind of meant to us. You know, it doesn't affect us. It's not something that we pay no mind. You know, we appreciate the media, you know, in the hype of getting people out to our games and spreading that news. But on the side of, you know, their opinions of our player or what we do, you know, there's no bigger standard than for ourselves. So that's kind of been our thought process on it all. And, you know, the rankings don't necessarily matter one bit, you know, until you get to that end of the season. That's where you want to finish at the top. So just trying to be focused on the right things. And it starts with the man up top, and we have a great man up top to, you know, lead us in the right direction and everyone, you know, fall in line.
I asked people on social media for, you know, give me some questions for Dylan Gabriel. And I got some great questions from fans. You know, one came and said, you know, what's the difference that you see between week one with this team to right now, as you kind of look at what the Oregon team is about right now?
Just time together. You know, I think patience and time together. You know, I know that we have a lot of veteran guys that have played a lot of football. But when you get on that field and there's 11 moving parts and, you know, we have all this practice time together and walkthroughs, but until the live bullets are flying, then, you know, you can't really, you know, replicate that to the fullest. So I would just say from week one, you know, you see guys who've played well together and gelled together, but also have been selfless and trying to get better for, you know, the whole group. So that's what I'd say is the time. And, you know, we're not taking it for granted one bit. But I think you just see week to week, you know, guys just, you know, gelling and meshing better together. So time is of the essence, and it's important, and you got to maximize every day you can.
Your dad, Garrett Gabriel, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's a school counselor now, was a quarterback, yeah, quarterback himself. And I think he was Hawaii's all-time passing leader, you know, before the run and shoot and everything got crazy with stats. Your dad was that guy. What'd you get from dad? What do you remember growing up and throwing the football around, or, you know, that mentorship you get from a father?
Everything. You know, football was correlated with my dad. You know, I remember when my mom would pull out the VHS tapes and, you know, on the TV, and this is when flat screen TVs weren't, you know, I remember when I was young, we had this big TV. So that was like, and it was kind of the beginning of the end for the big TV, but yeah. We watched it on that. And, you know, I've always looked at my dad as a role model and a guy I've always wanted to be like. And, you know, once I saw those tapes, I'm like, man, I want to play football as well, you know? And, when I was a little kid, you know, whether it was going to the park or, you know, just throwing out on the street or doing footwork with one another and him teaching me a three-step drop. And, you know, those are things you never forget, you know, and a guy who's been with me, you know, every step of the way on this journey from youth sports. And that's not just football, that's football, basketball, baseball. But, you know, you share this bond of a sport we both love. And he's equally invested, you know, and that's what I love about it. It's something that we bond over and have so many conversations about. And it's brought the family together. It's brought, you know, of course, me and him closer. And he's a guy I call every day, you know, and it's about ball. It's about life. But he's always been good about kind of finding the balance, you know, when things are going well, always looking on how I can get better. And, you know, probably at my lowest moments, a guy who's been my biggest believer. So, you know, when you have that in a coach and a father, it's special because, you know, it can be isolating as a player on your journey. You know, it's full of ups and downs. So I was very lucky to have a guy like him in my corner.
Dylan Gabriel with us, Oregon quarterback. You mentioned the VHS machine. I remember going to the video store as a kid, and you're probably too young. I don't know. Did they have video stores in your town when you were a kid where you'd go pick out a movie, or has it always been Netflix and Apple TV and scrolling with a remote?
They did. They had a Blockbuster, and there's probably a local one as well that I forgot the name of. But like I said, I was probably the beginning of the end for the big TVs, those video shops. So
I miss that. I miss walking into the store, like, even if it was, like, with your friends or you're on a date or maybe your parents, your family, and then going, okay, you have to pick out a movie. And you learn a lot about the people that you're with when you have to pick out a movie.
You do. And even a game as well. You know, I think they had video games there as well. So you learn a lot about everyone in that.
Illinois on film, what do you see when you watch them?
I see a tough physical team, guys who've played really well. You know, they've done a great job up until this point, and you know, you see it in the way they play, you know, on film, just always being around the ball, and you know how they've been able to create turnovers. It's something that when you click the tape, it's pretty obvious. So we'll have our hands full and you know, excited for the opportunity when they come to Autzen.
That Autzen crowd, look, I've been here a while, but, you know, I've worked in six different markets, and so I've seen some stadiums, and I always try to tell people, I think that Autzen crowd plays a lot bigger and louder than that it is. Even though it's 60,000 people, that's a huge crowd. It sounds like 80 or 90,000 people to me when I'm there on a big game. You've played now in three different conferences, so you've seen some places. Give us an idea, like, you know, if Autzen isn't the loudest place, what is that you've been in as a player?
Well, I'll say this. I think the most deceiving can be the most challenging. You know, I think people that go in with a certain mindset, being prepared for a hostile environment, just like anything, if you make it a bigger deal than what it is, then you're ultra prepared for it. You know, you get what you emphasize. And then sometimes when you might think, oh, it's just, you know, 60,000, and it might catch you by surprise. But I've played in some unique ones. I've said it before. I think at Cincinnati was definitely one that got pretty loud and was kind of deceiving in that sense. At Nebraska, you know, those fans and that fan base was pretty wild as well to be a part of. I think the OU Texas environment is very intriguing, you know, it being a neutral site and attracting that many fans that are so passionate about that rivalry. I think that is really cool. But I think more importantly, you know, I think you appreciate where you've been in those home games, you know, and, you know, whether it's at, you know, UCF at Oklahoma or even here at Autzen, you know, in Oregon, I mean, it's been special. So, you know, more than the away games, I know there's some hostile ones. I think the home games, they make you smile. There's some, you know, nostalgic, you know, vibes to when you're playing at home.
You miss the stadium back in Hawaii. Is it Mililani High School? Is that right?
Yes, Mililani High School.
What do you remember about that stadium, or what will you always remember?
Man, I'll just remember all those 220s we used to run. We used to run 220 yards there and back. Gosh, I just remember doing that. But I think just the love of the game, I think, you know, being young and, you know, that being my community I was born and raised in, and, you know, making the decision to go to Milani High School, the best decision of my life and a pivotal time in my career of, you know, coaches that love and believe in you, but also push you and challenge you. I think, like, that set me up for success in the college level and having, you know, that coaching style at a young age. It allowed me to grow up fast, which I had to, you know, being a young starter and in high school, but also, you know, that innocence in high school, that fun with all your teammates and the camps you have and staying in the gym overnight. Like, those are things that you'll never forget. So that stadium holds a lot of memories.
You know, it's interesting because as you talk about that, you know, we've been talking on the show today a lot about, hey, look, sports is supposed to be fun. Like, sometimes it feels like it's bigger than life and it feels stressful and people get upset or people get excited about their team wins, their team loses, coaches get mad, players get disappointed. You see a lot of that emotion in it. But at its core, it's supposed to be joyful and fun. And when I hear you talking about that, I see a smiling Dylan Gabriel and he's a junior or senior in high school and he's on an overnight in the gym team building before his season, and there's an innocence about it. And then I'm aware that, like, you know, your life in another year it'll be on another stage. Are you able to kind of appreciate the simplicity of college sports, or does it feel more and more complicated?
Well, the college is pros now. I hope you know that. You know, the yes. New day and age, it's the pros. So, and I think anything goes as we're in the beginning stages of it. But I'll say this, as a guy who played in 2019 before NIL, before the transfer portal and all that, even before COVID, which I think was really the thing that made all this transpire. But, you know, in 2019, you still kind of had that innocence of it in life not being as complicated or intricate with all the things that we're dealing with now. But I also look at it as a positive. You know, I think it forces you to grow up. I think it teaches you life lessons in college that, you know, in 2019, there'd be things that you could possibly get away with being a student athlete and them trying to help you, where now you're kind of forced to grow up and, you know, be your own boss and learning how to manage that and have good people around you. So, you know, I just look at it as, hey, look, at least these guys can make, you know, educated decisions and or mistakes, you know, at this young age. So when they do get to the NFL, they're making the right, you know, choices. So I try to look at it like that. It's been a positive in so many ways, and I try to shed light on that. And with anything, there's good and bad. So you got to be really good at managing it.
I attended 4 different colleges. So I'm not going to tell somebody who's transferred multiple times, hey, you know, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you should pick a place and stay with it. You know, I think you got to make the choice that's in front of you. But if I could take you back and I could make you a college freshman or a high school senior again, would you give that Dylan Gabriel some advice, or what would you say to him?
100%. You know, I wouldn't rewrite anything I did. I think that has ultimately made me the best version of myself, and 3 different places, a bunch of different, you know, coaches that I've learned from, all that knowledge that I've gained and experienced, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I think, like I said, living on this side of it, right, I think there's power in so many ways in being able to stay at a place and be there for 4 years and bring your family back and be able to have that shared experience where you meet your future wife or husband for, you know, that time. But, you know, I always joke around about it. Shoot, I got 3 places to go back to, you know, but that's because of the impact you leave on people. And, you know, I think I've been more thoughtful of that as well, you know, as I have had these experiences, is, you know, people are the ultimate, you know, thing that creates success, you know, and I say people not on the field or their job or what they have to do, but just having good people around you and great relationships and people you can trust and rely on. And, you know, I've tried to, you know, knowing that, I've tried to be that guy that people can rely on and trust and take pride in that huge responsibility, especially in my position, right? So I've tried to look at it like that. And I think the biggest thing I tell my freshman self or future, you know, freshman self is to go where good people are and trust your heart. And that's always led me in the right direction. So that would be my advice.
I saw you got engaged. Give me your proposal story.
Yeah, so speaking of NIL, I made a joke, you know, and this is kind of how I set it up. I told her I had like an NIL deal, you know, and she had to be in the photo video shoot. I was like, dude, I know it's like going to be early in the morning. We've got to do all this, right? But I was setting it up, you know, kind of. But I had, you know, our guys set up there and, you know, she kind of did like this fake script. We made this fake NIL deal. And crazy enough, talking about like sprinklers. So in the morning, the sprinklers were on, right? Where, you know, we had planned to do the proposal. So we had to buy some time and, you know, audible a little bit. But thankfully, the sprinklers went off. You know, had it all set up and then good. Was acting like we were taking a picture together. And then, you know, ultimately got down on one knee. But it was hilarious because I think we were both shocked because she didn't know. But then when I got down there, I'm like, gosh, I didn't even think this far into like how she would react. I was just thinking about my speech. So there's some funny stories within that.
I think on media day, you mentioned her name. Is it Zoe? Is that right?
It's Zoe, yes.
Zoe, yeah. And so did you call her parents? Did you get permission, or how did that happen?
I did. So I talked to her dad, Greg, and her mom, Kimmy, and, you know, I told them. So they ended up flying out for the game, and then we kind of disguised it as that as well, so it helped. And then after, you know, she said yes, we came home and all the family was here. So
that's great.
It was good to, you know, have breakfast or brunch together and everyone in her family was there and on my side as well.
Was she surprised or did she go, okay, I thought something was up?
She was surprised. She was really surprised. That's what kind of shocked me, you know, because I'm usually bad with surprises,
right?
To be quite honest. You know, because she's my best friend, so I'd usually run everything by her. I'd be like, is this a good idea? And then, you know, this one I had to make sure. I was like, this one I'm not telling. I was sure of it.
Dylan Gabriel, congratulations on the engagement, and congrats on the success so far. Feels like you're just getting started. We'd love to get you back on maybe in a few weeks or closer to the end of the season and catch up with you again. And enjoyed talking with you on Media Day, and I know that, like, there's not, you have an energy about you. I don't know if other people have told you, you have an energy about you that's very calming. Like, you know, you could be like audiobooks with the voice and kind of the richness of your voice, and it's just, you have a chill about you. I don't know if it's an island thing or if it's just a Dylan Gabriel thing, where you could, like, if football doesn't work out, I could see you narrating audiobooks.
Well, thank you. I hope you see the switch on the field too, though.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be necessarily a great audiobook,
right?
But off the field, definitely a great audiobook.
But I imagine, like, on the field, you know, you're more animated on the field, and if you're in a leadership setting in the locker room, you're not trying to put guys to sleep and relax guys right before the game, right? Like, you know, you're
not at all.
All right, hey, good luck this week against Illinois. We'll get you back on, and congrats.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, there he goes, Dylan Gabriel. Love that. And I don't know if you got that as a listener. Do you feel more relaxed than you did before the interview? He did that to me on Media Day. It's a very stressful day. There's, like, you know, cycling through interviews, and he sat down and he just kind of exhaled. He brought an energy. It was almost a poise that he brought to the interview that I, it's just, there's a vibe to him. that is very much, as he said, sand crab on the beach, knee deep in the water. Dylan Gabriel against Illinois with his Oregon teammates Saturday. Really interesting stuff about, hey, I don't know if you know, but this is the pros now. I love that. Very honest. Secondarily, his viewpoint on Oregon as a number one team in America. We pay that no mind. I think that's really interesting to hear Gabriel kind of talk about. They're aware that it's out there. It's no different, really, than the preseason rankings. Or Oregon was really hyped up in the preseason. Everybody was saying, oh, could they win the national title? Could they do this? Could they do that? Now they sit as the number one team in the polls. Maybe in some weird way, all that summer and discussion about the summer and then kind of the sobering start to the season where, you know, Oregon knows it didn't play its best football in the opening weeks of the season. Maybe that in some way helps frame what comes next for Oregon. Illinois on Saturday, Autzen Stadium. I will have the coverage at johnconzano.com. More ahead on the BFT. Leave it here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.